This episode is brought to you by CBS All Access. If you don't already subscribe to CBS All Access, please use our affiliate link by going to talkthroughmedia.com/CBS. Using our affiliate link gives us a little credit, which helps us to keep bringing you great content. U.S. residents only.
Hello, and welcome to episode 15 of the Star Trek Picard cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And what you're about to hear is the censored version of the Patreon call-in show. There were a few F-bombs in there.
After hours version.
Yes. And this is something that we do with our patrons. This is the fourth call-in show that we've done, and that is available if you go to patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. Donating at any level, a dollar per month will give you access to those episodes. $5 a month will allow you to participate in them. And in this call-in show, we talk about Picard Season 1. We talk about Discovery Season 3. A little bit about Lower Decks. A little bit about this and that. We also talk about the two new podcasts that you would have gotten on the feed. Rebinge Deep Space Nine and Let's Talk Through, which Ruthie was on. Those podcasts are on their own feeds on the Talk Through Media Network. You can get them through the all-inclusive feed from Talk Through Media, but we release the first episodes of each to both the Discovery and Picard feeds. So we talk a little bit about those, but otherwise, here is that call-in show. So, and in included on that was, of course, the two of us. We also had LT from NC, Kim from San Diego, Mark from New York, Mark, the other Mark from Kansas, Wes from Minneapolis, and Aaron from Akron. So anyway, here's that call-in show. Okay, so hi. Everyone, it's a little late start. I apologize for that last minute errand, but we are going to do our April Patreon call today, and we have opened it up to non-Patreon people. And then around 4:30, we are going to transition into basically open mic, open whatever happy hour, and One thing that I did do while I was out was I equipped myself for that. So so I will be similarly applied that I was with our last one. So, but okay, so we're going to, this is pretty much open whatever we want to talk about, but I figured we would start with Picard. So we've had the full season now, and what did you guys think overall? Anybody can talk.
Well, overall, I really enjoyed it. I know there was some the last two episodes, there was a lot of little holes that were a little troubling.
Yeah.
But being a Voyager fan, I got used to plot holes. But also, I mean, they have a lot in Voyager. Yeah. Sorry, but I'm a massive fan anyway. But I really enjoyed it overall. And I thought, well, if I could get through the first year of The Next Generation, I could watch anything. Because that first year was terrible. So
This week, in preparation for today, I did a rewatch. Unfortunately, I didn't get all the way through. But I did watch the first 8.25, roughly. So I watched the, I got into, I think, the cold open of episode 9. And
The one episode that I had the most problems with at the early part was the fourth episode, Absolute Candor. And I did not have the same problems at all with it, that I liked it a whole lot more on the rewatch than I did the first time out. So, yeah, overall, it seemed to be more congruent watching it all the way through. So, and of course, I had already dealt with my whole, this is not my Picard. So, those things didn't really bother me anymore because I know how he ends up at the end. So, looking forward to finishing that up probably tonight. But yeah, so Ruthie, what about you? I mean, I doubt that your opinions changed much, but
I haven't had a chance to rewatch yet.
Yeah.
Honestly, unfortunately, they did not do any, they did themselves a disservice by ending the way that they did, in my opinion, because now I'm like, I don't really want to go back and rewatch because I didn't really like the way that it ended. So I don't really want to, the whole time that I am in the middle of rewatching, I'm going to be like, kind of the opposite of you. I didn't like how it ended. So I don't really want to go and ruin the parts I did like already because I'm going to be anticipating the disappointment. So I'm just disappointed.
Wes, what about you?
Well, I really enjoyed the first season of Picard, actually. But, you know, I mean, granted, there was, I think they learned some lessons, the people who are behind the scenes and stuff like that, the writers, stuff like that, I think they learned some lessons from the first two seasons of Star Trek Discovery. Mm-hmm. I mean, because some people think, oh, season one was great of Discovery, like I did it first. Season two was better than season one. And then we get Picard season one. And I think they learned some lessons about how to do a very good season of Star Trek. So I think they learned a pretty good lesson there from the first two seasons of Discovery. Grant, I didn't like the way season two of Discovery ended. Like, dude, you didn't like the way season one of Picard ended. So I was just like, this the same. That's how I felt about it. So, yeah, I thought Picard was pretty good for this first season.
Good. So we've got to wait before Discovery comes back. By the way, Wes, it's good to see you. It's been a while. So
yeah, good to see you too, Brian.
Yeah. Actually, I would say that he's the last person to be co-host or guest host or whatever since Ruthie, because Ruthie was sick that one week and Wes guest hosted. So
yeah, I remember that. You know what's funny, Brian? I actually listened to our episode of Discovery podcast. So yeah,
cool.
Recently, that was actually kind of fun when I think about it now.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so we're gonna our next thing that we're planning to do. I think we can say. Is we have an interview coming up with Una McCormack next weekend, and we're just going to end up interviewing her, just the two of us. So, but then after that, we're going to do another call like this and discuss the book. So we'll probably have the episode out before we discuss it with each other, but it's just the scheduling, it ended up working out that way. And we were going to do it earlier, but it didn't work out. So, and plus we needed a break, both of us, but especially me. Kim, I want to, get on with you. You may have noticed that we put a couple of episodes in the feed of, well, the first one was a trailer, but
yeah.
The first episode, but the new Rebinged Deep Space Nine podcast that Talk Through Media is doing. So, and Kim is one of the hosts.
Yeah. Well, I'm wearing my Deep Space Nine t-shirt.
Oh, very nice.
Yes, you are.
You said you struggled through Next Gen Season 1, and I am struggling through Season 1 Deep Space Nine. I'm finding it tough.
There are some clunkers in Deep Space Nine, especially in the first, I'd say, 10. And I don't think you've gotten to move along home. But
not yet.
You might find that one funny.
Is that 9? We just did 8 last night.
It might be. I'd have to look at the... I think
it might be the next one.
Yeah, and I don't have the episode's number memorized like I used to. The
episode. Aquamarine!
Yeah. Yep.
I don't mind the goofy episodes. In fact, I'm fine with those. What I'm struggling with is... And I don't know if it's just me, but I'm struggling with everybody creeping on the women. There's constant creeping on Dax by Quark and Bashir. And it's really bugging me.
And Garrick creeping on Bashir.
Yeah, he does creep on him a little bit.
Yep.
I think that's episode 2.
Yep.
But there are little pieces of it that I love. So I'm just holding on to those to get through this season.
Yeah,
they iron all that stuff out at some point.
That's what my husband keeps saying. He loves the show, just loves it, and so Dax, he keeps telling me it's gonna get better.
Yeah, she finally is in a relationship, so she's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, even before then they kind of mellowed out a little bit.
Cool. But. Yeah, we're having fun doing it. It's a tremendous amount of work that I hadn't expected, but I got nothing to do now. So
I want to give you, we need to sit down at one point and give you, need to give you some tips on editing.
Love it.
Yeah. Cause pretty much the only criticisms I had were the editing, but
we get better.
Yeah. It always sucks at the beginning. So, and it wasn't that bad. I heard the original. So,
The first one was bad. We got a lot better.
Yeah. The first one, before you fixed up the noise, it was pretty bad. So,
but before you introduced me to Aphonic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also the very first recording we screwed up and I accidentally had both recordings on one track and that caused a mess. So. Yeah,
it's not easy. I still struggle with it from time to time. Like every once in a while, we will have an episode that just doesn't. It will have like we've had a few. Ruthie had one where she sent me a file and it was the right length and it had no audio in it.
Oh man!
So, but I always double record or triple record everything
that suspenders.
Yeah.
How do you triple? I do double. How do you do a third one?
Well, I record from Zoom. That's kind of like the backup. And then I also have, I'm not using it right now.
I only double because I don't have one of what he's about to show you. So I record my Zoom audio and I record my Audacity. We've had times where if he was not recording me, I would have nothing because I don't know what happened. Like,
oh, man.
Recording,
I would cry.
Audio, and, I know it's terrible. It's like recording my computer audio instead of my microphone or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I discovered why I couldn't find it. It wasn't hooked up, so I wasn't using it anyway. But this is a Zoom. No relation to Zoom.
Yeah,
but,
I've seen those.
But anyway, it's a Zoom H1. So what I do is normally, and I'm not doing it right now, but the Zoom recording I have actually going through my mixer. So I will send this. Right now I'm just on USB only, but so you won't hear any sound effects. But I have the USB going, but I also have a Focusrite. So I have the Focusrite going in to the computer and then the output of the Focusrite goes into the mixer and that's what I send to Zoom. But this time, and then with this, I record both the out, the out, outside signal and the inside signal both. So, and then Ruthie records her side. So then I will take the best version of me and the best version of her. And it's not always the same every time. Sometimes I end up having to go to a backup. But I will take the best of each of us and take the one that's both of us and just sync everything. Use that to sync everything together. And then I just individually edit and make things mono. And then what I do, like the one that I have to fix every time is the showcase award, because we talk over it. So what I do, I have a special, like the music at the beginning and at the end is a separate stereo track. So I move the showcase award from the sound effects track to the stereo track. And then that way I can fade it. So that's how it doesn't sound so bad anymore. So I didn't always do that, but
you can fade it in Audacity like automatically.
No, I can fade it in Phonic. So there's a duck this track. Yeah, there's a duck this track channel. So setting. So that's what I use to duck it, and that makes it perfect every time. So it's good.
Yeah, that's a good thing for me to know.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so Lee is not a podcaster. Wes used to be, but
No worries. It's
and Glynis. And Glynis. No, hi, Glynis, by the way.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. Anyway, so what's everybody else want to talk about? What about Discovery?
Everybody? Oh, okay. I'll talk about Discovery. Great. First of all, I really think it's not going to come out in 2021 now because of this COVID-19 pandemic. I really think so, because I read the article from Trek Movie about it, saying about, they interviewed Jeff Russo, the composer of both Picard and Discovery, and he said that he had been scoring the first, I think, 5 episodes, had been writing music for the season. Like I think he wrote for the first 5 episodes of season 3, and then this happened.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So and so he can't go. They can't record right now. They can't do orchestra right now because of the restrictions for crowds. So unfortunately, I really think 2020 was supposed to be a good year for Star Trek. With this going around, I really think that Picard's all we're going to get, despite the video at the beginning of the episode 10 of Picard saying it's coming soon for Discovery. I really doubt it's going to come this year. And that's just, I'm sorry to be pessimistic, but it's probably, I think it's more than likely going to happen. And now they canceled San Diego Comic-Con.
Yep.
So I don't know.
I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong too, but I'm just being kind of semi-realistic, somewhat pessimistic. I don't know.
See, they didn't cancel Dragon Con yet, and that's, I know San Diego Comic Con is a lot earlier, but Dragon Con's in September over Labor Day. Yeah, it's in July, so I guess I could see July being canceled. And I'm not sure what's going to happen with Dragon Con, to be honest. I haven't heard. So,
do you normally go to Dragon Con?
I go every year. Yeah, yeah, I'm a big fan. It's fun.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, hopefully, they'll figure out some other way that they can record music. I mean, they're probably thinking about that and trying to work on that. I think otherwise it's going to stop a lot of shows.
Yeah. I think a lot of it depends on how much they were able to get done prior to the, you know, the things shutting down. Like if they got no music done, that's gonna, you know, slow down everything. But if they got some of it done and some of it not done or something like that, then, you know, but who knows?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do that kind of a thing unless you have a recording studio in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really, I mean, as everybody who has ever recorded on a mic knows, it picks up all the little background, everything, and you can't really have that in music. And not only that, unless everyone is playing to a metronome, there's no way you're all going to be on the same beat. And that kind of, that's just, that's not good.
Not ideal.
No, it's not good. You can't, I mean, what you're, you might not realize it, but having a director direct the people who are playing really does keep everybody at the same tempo. Mm. And it just...
I wonder if they could just change their music entirely. Like, instead of having an orchestra, have, you know, a quartet, or just like a lone, you know, cornet or trombone or whatever, you know, just change it really dramatically.
I think a lot of that depends on
maybe
whether or not, you know, that
how much has gotten done already.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I'm just in the middle of something right now. What are you like? How's this whole virus going for you guys? Like, is it, are you still working? Are you not working? Are you,
my job never ends. I'm kind of like the post office. If the post office stops delivering mail, then you know it's truly the zombie apocalypse. But if that's like my job as well. If I had to stop working, that would be like, oh my gosh, the world comes to an end. So I'm just working from home. I'm full time. Nothing's changed for me really, except that I had to rework my workspace because I usually work from home once or twice a week, and now I'm constantly home. So my workspace wasn't really suited to that. But
and what is your, what do you do?
I'm technical support for a medical device company. So we do blood testing, and we make machines that do blood testing and diabetes testing. So there are a lot of labs still working. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. My job hasn't really changed at all because I work from home. I started the job that brought me down here to Tampa. It was only work from home 2 days a week. But it was in October. So about 6 months ago, I actually switched to another job where I work from home all the time. So that made it nice and easy to, from a work perspective, everything's normal. It's just a lot of other things that aren't normal. So.
Yeah,
it's been pretty stressful. So, but
when does the Deep Space Nine podcast drop, or has it dropped and I've just missed it?
Yeah, it's just one episode has dropped.
Okay,
yeah. Should be in the Discovery feed as well, but it's also got its own.
Yeah,
you can find it if you search Rebinge Deep Space Nine.
Is it? Okay. Have you? I know you submitted it to Apple Podcasts. I assume it's been.
Approved? Yep, Apple was approved. It shows up there. Google, Stitcher, and Spotify are all done.
Good, good.
I was doing Podomatic this morning because I realized that's the one that James uses. It's like a weird one.
Are we even in that? I don't
know.
No. Okay. Well, thank you. I'll have to.
I don't know if you can. You can't submit an RSS feed. It's a weird. Mm. You have a look, but you're not on there.
So are you doing one episode at a time, or are you doing like the first?
We're doing one at a time, deep dive.
Okay.
Long commitment.
Is your show like Mission Log by any chance?
What do you mean?
Like Mission Log does, they go through every episode of Star Trek, but they also search for the messages, morals, meanings of every episode. I just want to know if you guys do that.
Not quite, but we do have our own little categories that we talk about each time because James likes to overanalyze everything. So he overanalyzes, like a crazy person. And then I think as we get deeper, he'll analyze the overall arc a lot more. And then I'm very focused on the portrayal of women in the future. I hope that changes as we go because I just think right now it's rough, but that's pretty much what we've been talking about. And just sort of entertaining ourselves. Some of the feedback we've gotten is funny. Like, we think we're joking about something and people take us very seriously. And I'm like, whoops, thought that was a joke.
That's funny.
There's a lot of troubling portrayals of women in Trek, especially, It kind of goes all the way up until probably Discovery was the best portrayal of women in Trek. But there's a, you know, there's a lot of troubling instances, but there's also a lot of strong women. You know, for example, yeah. I reread recently Dragon Riders of Pern. And if you know those series, they were written in the 60s, Anne McCaffrey. And the first, it's a little horrifying how women are portrayed, considering how much he tried to get strong women in there because it was the time frame. But after a while, you know, you kind of, you forgive them, basically. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Mm.
Read The Dragon Riders of Pern. It's fun.
I was going to say, I have the audiobook for that, and I was considering giving it a listen, but I hadn't dove into it yet. I have not yet dove into it.
Well, you'll want your own dragon. That's all I can say. you will want one. Yes,
I already want my own dragon, but that's from I grew up reading Dragonlance, so
I'll have to try that one.
So I'll go back to Picard. Who's everyone's favorite character?
Seven.
Okay.
Love her.
I guess my favorite is still Picard. But in terms of new character, I guess who would it be? I guess
I really like Rios.
I'm a
real Rios fan.
I was gonna say Rios and all of his holograms. So I think that would be it for me. Ruthie, what about you?
Yeah, I like the holograms too.
Yeah.
They're fun. I mean, I don't know. As far as a new character, probably Dr. Jurati.
I like her. She's really good. Yeah.
I like her. Yeah. So I was a little disappointed that we didn't get any more of the Laris and Jaban.
No, she was terrific. They were terrific. Yeah,
I like them a lot.
I really like all the characters. I didn't have a lot of complaints until the last two episodes.
Me too.
I liked everybody. I actually liked Rafi in the book a lot more than I liked her character on the show.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I agree with that as
How many of you have read the book or listened to it?
I have not.
You have not? It is well worth the read. Well worth it.
That's what I've heard.
What about you, Glynis? Favorite character, or have you read the book?
No, I haven't read the book, but the favorite character is definitely the Borg.
XP's.
Yeah, I thought that the way they did that, in fact, I just watched, that was like the last full episode I watched was Broken Pieces, when Seven, you know, gets strapped in there. That was really cool. Hated that we saw, and I said this when we recorded, but I hated seeing the Borg getting spaced, which, you know, if you told me that 25 years ago, I'd be like, you're crazy, you know, or 24 years ago, especially since that was when the First Contact was out. Mm. But it was not great to see that happen, you know, so it's funny how I thought that this show really did a good job of kind of changing my perspective on it. And as Jim would say, he's not on the call, but they had, you know, dealt with that a little bit in Voyager, but it was, you know, not dealt with in any great length for the most part. So I think that that this show did a really good job at showing, you know, the victims. And it wasn't just the Borg, it was the the synth, and also I'll say
and it's not as well defined in the show, but the book especially does a masterful job at showing the Romulans as victims. And for those of you that haven't read the book, and I already recommended it, but the Romulans, that government was pretty f***ed up. That's all I'll say. that was
kind of just a great mirror, huh?
It's just, but, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
If you're talking about North Korea, I would say yes. We're not there yet.
True. But anyway, yeah, it was really well portrayed there. But, you know, it made me understand, especially, you know, why Picard left. But I still thought that's not what Picard would have done. You know, I disagree with the decision made, but I understand why they made it, because they had to kind of make Picard this other way. Like, basically, they were handcuffed a little bit by Patrick Stewart saying, I'm not going to play Picard this way. I don't want to do it that way. So, you know, like Ruthie and I talked about, the book should have been maybe the first season or two of this show, and then, you know, kind of segue into what we're seeing now. But that's not what we got. And I think we didn't get that because that's what Patrick Stewart didn't want to play an Admiral Picard, which is pretty much the same as our Captain Picard. So, you know,
I've been through a lot of like corporate layoffs, and yeah, I've watched people high up really change when they're laid off, and it really impacts their ego.
Yeah,
in a way that it changes them dramatically. And I guess I kind of looked at it that way, that yeah, his ego was so damaged, and also the thing that he so believed in had kind of betrayed him.
Yeah,
that I think he was so deeply impacted.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think I've seen that as well. And like the company I used to work for in Cleveland, as part of, you know, everything going on, like they're a tire wholesaler. So their primary business is selling tires to automotive dealerships, and they've had like a massive drop in sales because no one is going out to the dealership to get their car serviced, you know, and no one's, you know, getting new tires because nobody's driving. So anyway, they ended up laying off like 20% or something like that of the workforce on the first wave. And wow. Not the boss that I worked with before some stuff went down last year, but, or 2 years ago, but my boss's boss before that and his boss, they got let go, and several other coworkers got let go. And it's just, in a way, I'm glad, because I probably would have been let go as well on that wave, because my salary was too high back then.
Yeah, you reach a certain age and it's very hard to get another job.
Yeah. Well, I eventually did, but
congratulations.
Yeah, and then another one. So I'm two jobs past now. So, but yeah. So, what about the animated show Lower Decks? What's everyone's thoughts of that? I mean,
I'm looking forward to it, Brian.
Yeah,
I
mean, it should be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, granted, they're not affected by this because they probably already recorded, you know, the animation's probably already done. They're probably getting all edited. So I think they're kind of like unaffected by this pandemic a little bit. So.
Yeah, I think that they usually do the voiceover stuff first, like before even the animation. Like the full animation.
Yeah.
So, cause you know, they spend time trying to get the characters, you know, using their lips to say at the same time as the voice actors. But, I think they're still affected by the music. So as far as I know. Because otherwise, it would have announced it. Otherwise, it would have announced it, I think. They would have just gone ahead and said that Lower Decks was coming out like summer or something, but they haven't done that yet. So I don't know. I think that it will come out because they are still saying, it still says coming soon 2020. So I think you're wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised if Lower Decks doesn't come out until next year. So, and for no reason other than just things going slower, but I don't know. We'll see. Depends on how they end up like doing it. Like if it's all hand drawn, that's one thing. Well, I don't think anything is just hand drawn anymore, but you know, how much they have to use like render farms and stuff like that could affect it, but who knows? What else?
Well, can I just mention that the Romulan government kind of reminded me of the Soviet Union in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, and that might be why what they were really intended to depict, because they were the enemy of truth, you know?
Right.
So I just found that interesting. So I didn't think of North Korea. I just kept screaming Russia in the 80s to me.
Yeah. But anyway. I mean, I've never been to North Korea, so I can't say for sure.
It seems like it's an enemy of truth, though. I mean, let's face it. But but it just I just found that interesting. So anyway, I just had to throw that in.
That's, I mean, you're not wrong. Any kind of dictatorial, totalitarian regime type of, I mean, it could be China for all we know. They have a state-controlled press, don't they? So I don't know.
Yep, they do.
And that's pretty much, and I mean, it's, honestly, it's there was definitely some interesting points there. Some of the characters are like, the government will tell us, they'll take care of us.
No, they didn't at all. They just abandoned them.
They won't. Yeah.
It's a little and then the Shad Bash took away their ships. I mean, that was the most insane thing. I still don't agree with that decision on their part.
Yeah, they like
have waited till the transports were built. I mean, really,
they doomed their whole race.
Yeah, I do not understand that either.
To save what then? If everybody dies, what have you saved?
That's why. That is probably the entire reason why the whole synths are bad storyline makes no sense to me. I'm like, sorry. That's like cutting off your nose to spite your face. Like, who would do that?
I didn't mean to poke you.
It's okay.
No, I know. Sorry. I didn't mean to bring it up either.
No, it's fine.
That always it still bugs me.
No. We want rants from Ruthie. We don't want rants from Ruthie.
No. I don't want to be the person who's like, rah, rah, rah. But that's how I feel.
Well, I'll join in. Oh, we got... We have LT joining us. So nice. I don't know how long he was there. I didn't see him until I didn't see him. I just looked over on the participants thing. It's like, oh, there's somebody else. LT, I don't know how long you're waiting, but hi.
Do people have to wait to come in?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's set up so that, there's a waiting room. So I had to put certain security measures in effect. So that's why it was a different URL. And we've had, there've been Zoom bombs that have gone on. That's why there's a password. And that's why there's that I have it set up. And unfortunately, you know, I was 5 minutes late to start. But that was because of that.
All right then.
But anyway, LT, since you're on, we were talking about Picard, just getting impressions of Picard from the full season. I mentioned I started a full season rewatch, and I didn't get completely to the end, but the one episode I didn't like so much, Absolute Candor, I liked a whole lot better on the rewatch. So what about you? Have you had a chance to go back, or what's your overall impression of the season?
I think the season went a lot better in some ways than I expected. I think there were some weak spots. There were still a few plot holes, But for the most part, I think it was really one of the best first runs of any new Star Trek season.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think that there's a lot of things that they've still got room to explore and some things to look into. There's a few things I wish they would have gone into more, a few things I wish they'd have gone into less. But I think that, you know, comparatively, possibly one of the best first seasons we've had of any new series.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that we've talked about, and I know everybody else has talked about, I think the short season duration is going to be a factor in all that.
Yeah.
You know, with only, what, 10 episodes, 12 episodes, you kind of have to change your game up as opposed to the good old days when you had, what, a 26-episode first series?
Yeah, exactly.
So you got half the real estate for storytelling, and for expediency's sake, you have to do certain things that just end up pushing in some spots. Oh,
man, my head's right in the...
I also think I've said it before, but I find the when there's like a bad episode or a bad thing, it really is difficult in the sort of serialized versions of the show. Whereas when it's episodic, you have a bad one and you shrug it off.
Yeah.
But when it's the whole season, you know, it's I just think it's riskier.
I would agree with that. And that's especially
definitely true.
I think that was a big reason why we were as down as we were on episode 9. And LT, I mentioned it before you got here, but that's where I ended my rewatch. I only got as far as the cold open of episode 9 before I was planning to finish it today, but someone else had another idea. So anyway, as far as I think pretty much everybody on the call love season 2 of Discovery, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's, I know within most of our listenership, most people agree. But what are you most looking forward to for season 3? Is that a Westworld background, Ruthie? I still only have seen season 1 because I haven't had HBO in quite a while.
I think season 3 for Discovery is just more Discovery.
Yeah.
I want to see how they work out the leap to the future. Yeah. You know, I want to see how the ship ended up, that they left us with a few enough unresolved questions that I'm looking forward to seeing. Of course, I'm still wanting to know how they're going to get Michelle Yeoh back to
Section
31.
I'm a little worried about that, to be honest.
Well, I'm still thinking they're going to put her in the suit, or she's going to hijack the suit.
Yeah,
that's more likely that she would hijack it.
Yeah,
but it looks like they've had, you know, with all the teasers we've gotten, just to see, you know, based off of what happened during Picard, kind of see if they play off of that dissenting new worlds for Federation members. See if there's some sort of, if they had some sort of mass exit, or if people just got upset and left, or how they're gonna play with that.
The one thing I noticed, and we changed the banner there a couple days ago, there is a character that's standing there between Stamets and Culber, who I don't recognize. It's not what's her face. I can't think of her name.
Tig Notaro.
No, well, okay, it's not Tig Notaro. That I wasn't thinking of, because I know in real life, I think her health has been an issue. So I don't even know if she's going to be
in season three. I would love to see her being in season three, but I haven't heard anything specific. But
who are you talking about?
I'm thinking of the security. Commander. What's her name?
Non.
That's right.
Yeah. I thought the crewman in the banner was the new non-binary gender fluid character.
I think that could be
because they've teased that there's going to be a new crewman this year.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that non-binary. That was always the question. I was like, what does that mean? That is a new term, that, as far as I'm concerned. But I know what it is now, but just never heard the term for it that way before. I wish that Discovery was going to be starting soon. And I wonder what the original plan was. Like, was it going to start in a couple of weeks, or were they planning to start it right after Picard? I think they probably were going to start in May. That's my thought. But obviously they're not. So
yeah, I think that was the plan, Brian, because if I remember correctly, from the Picard premiere back in January, that Heather Caden had said that it would probably be ready by May.
Yeah.
But obviously they didn't expect this to happen.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but to answer your question about what I'm expecting in season three, just to go off of that, is that, am I going to see similarities to Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda? By any chance, if anybody's seen it, it's a great show. But, great show from the early 2000s. Kind of like, I've seen a lot of comparisons on other social, on other Star Trek Facebook groups of comparisons of what we've seen from the teaser trailer released last fall for season three, and similarities between that and Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda.
I mean, it could be a similar premise. Obviously, there is like this idea of it being, what, 300 years in the future, I think, or 3,000 years, or I forget how many years. But in that, there was a Commonwealth, they called it, and that Commonwealth had kind of gone away while what's his name?
Dylan Hunt.
Kevin Sorbo. Yes.
Yeah.
Kevin Sorbo's character, Dylan Hunt, was stuck in the event horizon of a black hole, I think. So, although that term might not be correct, but like kind of stuck in a black hole, and eventually someone comes by and pulls the ship out, and, he tries to restore the Commonwealth. I thought the first season of that show was great. I thought after that, it just progressively went further down and down and down. And I don't even think I saw the last season of it. But, so anyway. What about, I'm going to go back to Picard and ask, what was everyone's favorite episode of the 10?
Nepenthe was mine.
I would agree with that. I don't think I gave it the highest mark, because I gave the first episode a 10, but maybe I would drop that 10 down to like a 9.8 or something now, and I would give Nepenthe the nod. I think that was a better, it just did a better job, I think, of like just pulling on my emotions, and including pretty much all the characters in it too. It was just solid pretty much all the way around. So, and great to have. I thought it's such so stupid that Marina Sirtis didn't get a special guest star in that episode, but she certainly deserved it, because she was amazing in that episode. Mm-hmm. She should have gotten the special guest star. It's just dumb that she didn't, but
she needs a new agent.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know why she didn't. I mean, right. She didn't want it. We don't know.
Well, that was a question that I asked, what's his name? Shabon. And he was surprised, or at least he acted surprised in his Instagram reply. And curse you, Shabon, for making me get into Instagram.
Well, one thing about it, Brian, you've said it during one of the runs of Discovery, that whoever quality controls their credits, needs to be sacked, because they've had, where wasn't it Wilson Cruz that wasn't on the credits one week?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's not even a guest star. He's a regular.
Yeah, and I think Harry Treadaway was missing from the credits one week too. And he was actually in the episode. Although I think when I went back in my rewatch, he was in there. I didn't notice him not being in there for that episode. But I think like episode 4 or something like that. Like the stupid, sliding on the Borg cube thing. He had a big role in that episode, but if I recall correctly, he wasn't even credited in the episode at first. But.
Our favorite episode of Risky Borgness.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just wishful thinking.
What's everyone's, aside from Picard and Discovery, what's everyone's favorite Star Trek?
Deep Space Nine is mine.
Voyager.
Voyager.
Next Gen.
Yeah. Enterprise.
Enterprise. Cool.
Really?
No, I liked Enterprise too, even though it had some problems in the beginning.
I have to be the contrarian.
I'll say this.
I watched it till the end.
I'll say
the whole thing first time. I loved it.
I'll say this much. Like I kind of poo-pooed it. It was like my least favorite, but when I went back and I did a rewatch prior to Discovery starting, I thought that it really held up well, and B, it was much better than I thought, I must have had certain biases to it because of, this looks different, like I was probably like, half the Discovery haters for Enterprise, not like thinking it was too advanced or something. I don't know exactly why, but I
know that I was trepidatious about a prequel, as I always am.
As you always are, yes.
But I still enjoyed it.
And I've said this. I did
not enjoy the retconning, but I still enjoyed the show.
I think the thing that hurt them was UPN. How we were just talking about this a little while ago, that because UPN would preempt it so often for wrestling or hockey games or whatever else, that it's a series you really have to watch episode to episode, and you have to see them in sequence. And once I was able to sit down, I mean, I liked it in the beginning, but I had questions. And then once I was able to sit down and watch it all, end to end, season to season, continuously, I think it got better.
Yeah.
The thing I always thought they really should have done with Enterprise is fight the Romulan War, because that was the time period when the Romulans and Earth, that's when the neutral zone was created. It was around that time. It was very shortly, it was about 100 years before Kirk, and that's when Enterprise was supposed to be. So to me, that would have been a great opportunity to fight the Romulan War. I was so disappointed they didn't do that. They did a lot of time wars, which was interesting, and they did a lot of interesting things, but I always wish they had fought that war.
We have Aaron joining us, and I'll apologize both to you, Aaron, and LT. It's not alerting me when someone is waiting to join. So if I don't have the participants window like showing up, it's not telling me anything. So I have to actually open up that window. So I don't know how long you guys were waiting to come in, but I apologize. What about you, Glennis? What was your favorite Star Trek?
The original.
The original. Definitely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, watching it as a kid.
Yeah.
It certainly was my favorite, obviously, growing up. But, that I mean, at first, Next Gen didn't grab me too much. And I think I said this once on this show, I hated the D at first. Hated the D. And it was only after maybe, where no one has gone before, that episode, that I finally started appreciating it more. And it's more, swoopiness. Swoopiness. That's you funny. Know, but yeah, so
but yeah, it was like Star Trek Enterprise. It was around the same time that we had that other series with Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
Oh,
yeah,
that's right. That's
are you talking SeaQuest? Are you talking,
yes,
yeah,
I think you're talking about SeaQuest,
yeah, SeaQuest. Again, that was another show that its first season I thought was really good, and then they changed some stuff, and it wasn't nearly as good after that. They just changed too many things.
Yeah, when it was screened in Rhodesia, as it was in Zimbabwe, they called it the actual title was "Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea." So,
I knew you were from. I thought you were from South Africa, but. You're from Zimbabwe?
Yes.
Yeah.
I spent sort of even amount of time in Zimbabwe and also South Africa before immigrating to Canada.
Yeah. How long ago did you do that?
20 years now.
20 years.
Wow.
Time flies.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I know.
Well, you're
a
Canadian.
Yeah. I know others that were from South Africa.
That is quite a climate change.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wouldn't be able to handle it. I'm such a wuss when it comes to cold. I'm like, it's so cold. I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Yeah. So, Aaron, I'll ask you since you're on and hi.
Hello.
Hi.
What was your overall impression of Picard now that you've had a little bit of time to kind of, step away from it?
Oh, no. I would say it was not as bad as it is in my head. I think most of it is just like, I think they had a lot more potential with the story, maybe fleshing out some of the characters more. I don't think they did that very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was enjoyable. I mean, hey, welcome back. It's just, could you do better next season?
Yep. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I think that, like I was saying earlier, this is like the third time I said it. I've been doing a rewatch this week. I got to episode 9, where I stopped at the cold open. And the one episode I didn't like, episode 4, Absolute Candor, I liked a lot better, on the rewatch. So I think my big issue with that one was, this is not my Picard, but I kind of worked through that and I liked it a whole lot better this time.
I think, honestly, with the exception of the sort of gore in the Stardust City Rag episode, it really wasn't bad overall. But that one just really put me off, and it threw me off for the rest of the show, for the series.
Yeah. Stardust City Rag, you didn't like it?
I didn't like the beginning. Most of the rest of it was okay, but having somebody get their eye pulled out.
Oh, yeah.
That was tough. That was tough. It was each.
They definitely have issues with eyeballs.
Now, that being said, I really didn't have a problem in the Absolute Candor episode where they beheaded the former Romulan senator, but it seemed a little less gory than what they were doing in that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, his head kind of just slid off.
Yeah. That
really, like,
he lost his head.
He really did. He did not choose to live.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and I liked Elnor quite a bit.
so far on the rewatch. Wish that they had done more with his character through the season. And I was thinking, Ruthie, we should try to interview him. He was just on Trek FM this week. So hey, maybe he'd do our show.
Yeah, well, you should tweet him or Instagram him.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I'll mention it here. We have started barely, like it's not fully set up, but I have opened up an Instagram account for the two podcasts. So it's Star Trek TTM. So there's nothing on there. In fact, you won't even see a picture yet on there, but I will start posting from there. So
it's not going to be all food pictures, is it?
No. No.
Oh, my
definitely gosh. Not.
No Cormac Gander, please.
What?
What's that?
No Cormac Gander, please.
Yes, no pops.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Cormac Gander.
Yeah, but I figure, we'll use that more for Discovery Season 3 and see, you know, if we can start to tie some of that stuff in.
And when he says we, he means he.
Yes, me.
Just don't do Instagram.
Yeah, it's funny. yesterday I was looking and it's like, she hasn't even approved my request to follow her. So,
but, I really don't do lots
yeah. of I've only just started doing it because just anyway, it's a whole story that I don't want to talk about here. but Ruthie knows. So,
well, as for me, I think that, you know, getting a Twitter account was almost a bridge too far.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean,
I barely ever use my Twitter.
I don't have one.
Yeah. We love, I mean, now that Facebook actually, still acknowledges our domain, that's we've kind of made up a little bit with Facebook, so that's always going to be our primary communication with our listeners. So
yeah,
and I know pretty much everybody's on there except maybe Lee.
No, I don't do Facebook.
You don't do Facebook at all?
No, not at all.
It's actually pretty, we're small, but we're mighty on there. There's a lot of interaction with everybody on there.
It feels like there's just way too many social media platforms at this point. Can't keep up with them all.
Yeah.
TikTok, Instagram, Twitter.
I mean, I used to do Twitter.
I don't even know what they all are.
I used to do Twitter a lot. Like, actually, I would say until I started the Walking Dead talk through with Ruthie, I didn't use Facebook much at all. Like the only way I would use it would be to occasionally talk to friends and relatives. And I used Messenger some, but I didn't use it for much. And then, you know, that became like the primary way that we would talk to listeners through our Facebook group. So, you know, it kind of like the scales really tipped away from Twitter, which is what I used for years and years and years. And now I hardly use Twitter and I use Facebook more. But, you know, Facebook and I are kind of not as fast friends as we used to. So,
you know, I just can't keep up with all this mess.
Yeah. It sucks. There are too many. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. And now we have to add Zoom because Skype sucks.
Yeah.
And I see that Facebook has started, they're calling it Facebook Desktop. And I think it's supposed to be similar. They're like what I saw was a link to it. And it looked like a similar kind of, interface to what we have here with Zoom, but probably not everybody's on their computer here, but if you, if you do watch from the computer, you can, like, I'm seeing all eight of us on screen right now. And that has been something that hasn't been available, I think, from anybody else. I think that's probably why Zoom has, like, catapulted into the stratosphere. But the funny thing is, we've been using Zoom for over 2 years. So it was something that we had a lot of issues with Skype for like 2 or 3 months, and I just got fed up and started looking at other things, and we ended up settling on Zoom. So yeah, we use it all the time. So
I know I was talking to in our most recent staff meeting, one of the associate dean of our college had her first opportunity to use Zoom in sort of a teaching type of I guess way or whatever, like in her, like an experience or whatever you want to call it that way. And she said she had practiced, and so she recorded herself and practiced and like listened to it back, and she's like, I seem to say this a lot. And I said, yeah, you really figure out what you say a lot when you record yourself. She said, oh yeah. I was like, yeah. She's like, how do you know? I said, well, I have a podcast. It was funny though.
Oh, so she didn't know she didn't know you had a podcast until then?
I guess not. I mean, everybody saw the fancy microphone. I don't know what they thought it was for, but.
That's true.
I was like, okie dokie.
Yeah, it was funny when, not at my current job, but my last job, they would see my microphone, and I'd either have this microphone or I'd have this microphone. I switch back and forth, but this one is USB, but I have this one. And this one is the one that up until recently, I think, Trump and all the presidents used, which is the windscreen isn't on right, but it's the Shure SM57 with the big ass windscreen. And they used to double those over so that they'd have redundancy, but I don't think they do that anymore. Because Trump is Trump. But so he's got some other microphone now, I think. But anyway, yeah. And I switched. This is the original, not the original, but I started using this the first season that we recorded The Walking Dead talk through. So I've actually gone back to my old microphone and I found, oh, this sounds better. So I spent, you know, few hundred dollars on microphones. I've got about like 6 or 7 of them, and I ended up sticking with the one that I started out with. It's funny, but it's more versatile, so you can do, because it has USB and it has the regular. So anyway, don't mean to talk about that too much. Anyway, I said we'd move to the happy hour portion at 4:30. So let's think. You have any questions for us while we're still on? Any podcast questions or like network questions? Because we've got I'll mention this. Mark's not on. He'll be on later, I guess. Kyle, he had other plans tonight, but there is a new podcast that's starting on the network called Let's Talk Through. And we're, I think, hoping that will get out this coming week. And that one's going to be more pop culture. Ruthie's on the first episode. And they're talking about, what did you guys talk about again?
Galaxy Quest.
And,
oh, wow.
And the Galaxy Quest documentary.
Right. Never Surrender.
Called Never Surrender.
Yeah.
The actual name of it is Never Surrender, a Galaxy Quest documentary. So it's kind of redundant to say it's a documentary.
Yeah.
Called Never Surrender, a Galaxy Quest documentary.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so that's going soon. And Kim's already recorded. How many episodes have you recorded at this point?
Eight.
So we've got a bunch kind of backed up Yep. So already ready to go. So it'll be a while before you guys actually start taking feedback, but maybe you'll have to have like a feedback episode or something.
Maybe that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
And there's a Deep Space Nine rewatch podcast somewhere.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about with Kim. Yep. Yeah, it's called Rebinge DS9, and we put the first episode out on Discovery and Picard feeds, but there is a separate...
Somebody put something about a Voyager thing or something out there, too. I didn't know what that was.
Voyager? Yeah,
yes.
On our network.
That's not on our network, but I know about that story. I heard about that story, so... Not on your network, okay. but it was... Garrett Wong and Robert McNeil are going to do a Star Trek Voyager rewatch podcast.
Oh, nice.
Robert McNeil and who? May.
Robert McNeil and Garrett Wong.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
The Delta Flyers.
Yeah.
That. Okay.
Somebody, I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody put some advertisement for it, and I was like, I don't know what this is, but okay.
One of the guys who's been on one of our roundtables, Martin, he's actually friends with Garrett Wong. It's Garrett Wong lives in Calgary, Alberta now. And yeah, he knows him. Like, he's actually been to his house and all that stuff. So they're friendly. So it's kind of cool.
He does Garrett Wong does the Trek Track at Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah.
Fun.
He's the director of the Trek Track.
Yeah, that's what he's involved with. He actually is involved with conventions. I think he works for one of the companies that puts on the conventions. So, yeah, that's cool. Hey, Mark, nice to see you. Drop in. You said you'd join us later, so this is later. I don't know how long. I was saying before, it's not telling me when people are wanting to join. I thought it was supposed to do that, but I have to look at the window before I see that someone's joining.
No, I knew you weren't going to keep me out. There's
no, I definitely wasn't going to keep you out.
I mean, there's going to be liquor to be consumed later, and I already have a little bit of my fireball left, so I figure I'd get it. I'll pop in and out. I mean, now that I got the password, my original concern was the message ID, the meeting ID and the password were seemed longer than normal.
Yeah.
So I kept putting
they're trying to keep people from just being able to like randomly guess those numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, that was part of it. And part of it was just keeping I didn't go with the default password that it tried to put in. I put in a password that was actually the day that the rogue synths attacked Mars. So
yeah, well, I got to be careful about those things. I did send a link to Rebecca Lockley. She said she'd try to jump in if she could. She's in England, so it's going to be about 6 hours ahead. So,
yeah.
I mean, don't hold your breath on it, but I figured I'd go ahead and give that information to her, and if she could, she'd stop by.
But, yeah. somebody's cat.
The cat. That's mine. She's up.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Back to your bed.
So we were asking people.
Element.
Now. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I broke out. I've got tonight's entertainment pretty well, ready to go. So, nice. I mean, I've got if you can kind of see there, I've got this trilogy in there. I got the Iron Giant, Fifth Element, and of course the best movie ever made. So,
Lost in Space. I don't know about the best movie ever made.
I know. I'm
full of shit. They really screwed up that remake.
The 97 version or the current TV?
The 97 one. It was
terrible. We were just talking about Galaxy Quest, and according to the documentary, it's one of the four best films ever made. So there.
Well, they also say it's one of the best Star Trek movies ever made, and make you kind of go.
I've heard people say that. I've
heard people say that. They say that in the documentary a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really agree, but. You know, I've watched that movie a lot, but not recently. Well, I watched maybe 15 minutes of it recently, but I don't know. I would have liked, they were supposed to do a Galaxy Quest series on Amazon,
And I guess with Alan Rickman's passing, they just decided just not to do it. But yeah. That would have been cool if they had.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. So
I don't know. Galaxy Quest is a, given what it is, it's of its time, and making it now would, making any version of it, like it would be a series or anything, would be kind of, I don't know. Even if Rickman was, we're still alive, I don't know. It just seems like a, not that it would be a bad idea. It would just didn't, it wouldn't see, it would seem out of time to me. Cause
yeah.
Yeah, I remember that came out in like 90, what was it, 98?
99.
99. Yeah. So it's still kind of in it still in its peak at that point.
Yeah, it was, you like Christmas time. Yeah. Christmas of 99. So, mm-hmm. So I remember, because I saw it, I actually didn't see it until 2000. I think I saw it like my birthday of 2000. So a few days out.
I've got it on disc. See, the thing is, as nice as a computer as I had built, I didn't have a Blu-ray put in it. I only had a DVD put in it. So they're going to charge me even more for a Blu-ray player. Says, screw it, just put a DVD drive in it. And so I have still like 800 movies on DVD. I'm not going to be.
Yeah.
I ended up just ripping one out of an old laptop so that I could at least rip my Blu-rays and put them on a hard drive somewhere.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, I have a Blu-ray, and it has not even been set up the last two places we lived.
Yeah,
we do have an Xbox One, so I can watch
Blu-rays on there.
Yeah.
Well, I love Galaxy Quest. I think it's the bestest.
Yeah, what really sucks is the new laptop didn't even come with a disc drive.
Yeah,
that's right. No, like none of these new ones do. No. So I couldn't even play it if I wanted to.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I just got a Wi-Fi adapter for one of my old laptops, and it came with a CD. And it's like, what can I do with that? I can't even install it with that.
Yeah. But
thankfully it worked out. So
nice. Well, I still have all my antique USB attachments. I got a USB floppy drive a while back.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
So I have a USB. I have a USB floppy. I have a USB DVD CD burner. So,
yeah. I mean, at some point, I had one. I know I had a USB floppy drive, but I don't know what happened to it. And I had, that's, if I ever go looking, my original script that I submitted to Star Trek was on a 3.5 inch floppy, but I haven't gone looking for it in a long time. But I'm not even sure I have it anymore. It may have been damaged with all the other stuff that got damaged in the water damage we had, because I threw out a whole bunch of stuff. And all the stuff I had from Paramount, all of it was all water damaged. It was all, got all moldy. And
sucks.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, if anyone has any final things they want to bring up before we stop the recording, we're going to keep going, but we're just going to stop the recording. Anybody have any final words or anything?
So do you have any exciting plans for the rest of the containment, waiting for series to drop to keep us all interested and excited?
Oh, for us? we were saying the next episode is going to be, we are doing an interview next week with Una McCormack, who wrote The Last Best Hope. And then we'll do a Patreon that will release to everyone about the book. So that's how we ended up doing it. So Ruthie and I are just going to interview her. And then we'll do like kind of a follow-up to it after the interview with all you guys. Oh. And then we're going to try to just keep doing Patreon calls that will open up. And Like what I'll probably do with this one is I'll release the audio right away to Patreon people, and then maybe I'll release this out to everyone. It just depends on how the recording turns out. So it was a little bit of it. I realized that my recording wasn't recording. So there's the first couple of minutes of me that's not recorded on my regular recording, but we can still use the Zoom. So that's why we have it. Belt and suspenders and suspenders. So,
hey, Brian, that leads to a question I have.
Yeah.
How long do you think it's going to take from right now? We're in what, a second month of this shutdown before we see CBS coming out with new series after whatever they have in their queue now?
Yeah. I think it's going to be at least July before we see anything. And I'm thinking it's probably going to be more like August or September. It just depending on things in California, to me, from what I hear, it's mostly the music that is keeping the Discovery Season 3. I think there might have been some either AMR or sound effect audio that they needed to do as well. But it's mostly just audio that they needed to do. So, or is it ADR or whatever? The
ADR.
ADR. I don't know. I don't even remember what AMR is. But anyway, so there may be some of that, but it's mostly just the soundtrack stuff. So assuming once they can actually do the soundtrack stuff, I think we'll have it. But I'm guessing it's probably going to be August or September. I'd like to see July, but, you know. And as far as, like, we haven't really heard anything about Lower Decks. It's supposed to be ready. We, as far as I know, all the like dialogue was recorded long ago. I don't know how they're affected as far as the like the shading and all the like individual cells that they need to do, but I'm thinking that's probably done as well. So, because originally Heather Caden said both of them would be ready by May, and it was just a question of which one CBS wanted to release. So, I mean, hopefully they'll get it out by September, and then Lower Decks will come out, you know, either December or January or something like that. But I don't know. It just all depends, I think, on how long this goes for. So, okay, with that, I think I will stop the recording. Thanks to all you Patreons that didn't get to join in on the call. You'll probably hear this on the feed Sunday, and then I'll probably release it to regular listeners as well, just a different version. So, all right. So with that, I'm going to stop recording. And this was recorded as part of our Patreon, but everyone else is getting this because of coronavirus. So, but for everyone else, why don't you tell people how to contact us?
All right. If you want to submit your feedback or connect with us, you can do that by going to talkthroughmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio. You can leave us a voicemail by calling 216-232-6146. You can send us an email, and the email is picardcast@talkthroughmedia.com. Or you can post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTMpodcasts. So look out for that thread. We don't know when it will be because we don't have any planned episodes necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, the next thing that we are going to have is our roundtable. So,
right. But no planned episodes of Star Trek Picard, obviously.
Right. It's going to be a while for that. And Discovery, same thing for that, for those of you that are on our Discovery feed.
Yeah.
Our Twitter for Picard is PicardCast. And we also have Star Trek TTM, which sort of covers both, but it's mostly for Discovery these days. But I wanted to highlight that I've started doing Instagram. So I've created a new Instagram account for us, and that's at Star Trek TTM. And I'm also using Instagram a lot for my personal stuff, and you'll also see a lot of stuff for the podcasts on there. So add me if you haven't already at Brian Melosh. And, you know, up until recently, I didn't use it at all, but I've started using it a lot lately. So a great way you can support us, though, is to share our content when it comes up on Twitter and Facebook, and of course now Instagram. The Talk Through Media page is at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia, and those are posts that you'll be able to share widely, whereas the Facebook group is a private group, so those you can't share, but the bigger posts will post on the Facebook page, so you'll get them there. Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of choice, and while you're there, give us a rating or review. And of course, our Patreon, which you may be listening to us on there, that's at patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. You will have gotten this episode earlier than everyone else. patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. You can actually listen to it before it hits the main feed. And that one is an uncensored version. There are some things that I have to pull out of the final censored version that we'll post on the feed. But anyway, we want to thank our Patreon supporters, James Robbins, Lawrence Todd, Fred Petrie, Clint McCollum, Kyle McAdams, Kim Vogel, Brian Shiro, Christoph Lechleitner, Jeff Biacco, Lee Radke, Aaron Mays, Michael Carrier, Stephen Chambers, Kevin Lyle, and our newest patron, Jeff Gentry. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
And our next episode, from the Patreon side, we will actually be doing a Patreon about The Last Best Hope. So that's the next thing that you'll hear. We may release that to the regular feed. We may not, just depends on how that one goes. After that, our next one will be the roundtable to discuss season one of Picard. So you'll get sometime in May. But until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
Peace and long life.
Live long and prosper.